Hello, hello, everyone. We are live. Today is August 12th, 2025. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States around the world. As you can see, we are back from Rhode Island. Yep, I'm back in my office today. Welcome to everybody jumping in. Cyrus is sleeping right now. Toby is sleeping in the office right now. Hello to those of you coming on. I see South Florida, Northwest Missouri, Mississippi, Queens, New York. Love the boroughs. Hello to you. Ciao to you as well. People saying hello in Italian in the chat. Port Charlotte, Florida. Seymour, Connecticut. Hello to our neighbors in Connecticut. East Tennessee. Patton, Missouri. Washington State. Tulsa, Jerusalem. Yep, Clay Clark calls Tulsa, Jerusalem. Oregon, Michigan, Maryville, Tennessee, Greece. Hello to our international audience. Come in. Blessings to you in Greece and all of our international audience that is coming in. We're so happy to have you. Medford, Oregon, Northwest Iowa. I see Kentucky as well. Rhode Island. We were just there in Rhode Island. Near Westerly and near Watch Hill, that area. Tallahassee, Florida. I see, gosh, the chat's moving so fast. South Jersey. Oh, we love our New Jerseyans here. We do. We love our neighbors in New Jersey. God bless your leopard print and your unique style of driving. Let me tell you, you guys have it all your own. Arlington, New Jersey as well. Ozarks and Kalamazoo, Michigan as well. Delphi, Indiana, Louisiana, Kansas City, Missouri. Let's see who else is coming on here. Omaha, Nebraska, Ohio, Albuquerque as well. I see many Texases, the Philippines. Hello to our friends all the way in the Philippines. You guys invented Jollibee. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Jollibee, but it's this fast food Filipino place that has come to the States. And it's like all the rage. And hello to everybody else coming in. Our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So we got an interesting delve tonight, let me tell you, of what we're going to get into, because we're going to prophetically get into Numbers chapter 13 and 16 and how it's aligning with what we see happening right now in our nation. So we're going to get into that in a moment. I'm going to open up in prayer. At the end, we're going to show you some pictures because new residents came to the sanctuary yesterday. There's three of them. They are absolutely adorable. And so stay tuned for the end because we have new residents at the sanctuary. And boy, does God have a sense of humor. Let me tell you, because if we don't think what I'm about to show you at the end is scriptural, oh, it is. So let's open up in prayer. And then I'll talk more about what we are getting into tonight is spies in the land, exposing the spies in the land for sure. So, Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. We humble ourselves before you this day, Father God, asking, Father, you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we've sinned and fallen short. In you, Lord, we praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. We acknowledge you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Father God, that you sent him to the earth. He willingly came to the earth to die. He was the Passover lamb. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And Father, I praise you, Father God, Lord, that he miraculously rose again in 3 days, ascended back into heaven, took his rightful victorious place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above all names, our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, into this place. Father, let the weight of your glory, your power, your might, your presence, Father, your truth, Father, mightily come forth, Father God, that people tangibly feel your presence, Father God, that you are welcome to have your way and mightily move, Father God, in this time. I ask you, lead and guide us, Lord. Order my words, order our steps tonight as we go forth. Fill us and our team with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me, Father, and our team, the humble privilege of being vessels of your power, Father. And Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to fill this place, the skies, the land above and below, to guard against every dimensional access point, that every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, sabotage, strategy, manipulation, and device that the enemy, satanic agents, unclean spirits, willing vessels would attempt against, Father God, this broadcast, against Ark of Grace Ministries, the sanctuary, Father God, our team, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke it right now. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, it all be dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, Father God, rendered powerless, destroyed by the holy fire of God, their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans, and they cast back to the areas you have designated for such to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return. Nor have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter, we most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Every breath we take is because of you. We owe you every breath. You are Yahweh. You are the breath, Father God. We praise you. You are breathing that anew in us, Father God. You are creating in us a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within us. Cast us out away from your presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation and renew a steadfast spirit within us, Father. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Let your name be lifted up and glorified above all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those of you who were jumping on during prayer. You saw the title, Spies in the Land, actually exposing the spies in the land. There is something going on within the conservative movement, within the nation, within areas of the nation, even the church, that is running parallel to Numbers 13 and Numbers 16, because we need the Caleb and Joshua generation to arise and the spies to be removed. And so we're going to get in all of that. We're also going to talk about briefly how President Trump called in the National Guard, and we're going to get into all of it from there. Also, if you could share this broadcast right now, we'd very much appreciate it. Like and subscribe. It does help us tremendously. Stay tuned for the end. I had said it at the beginning, but we had new residents come to the sanctuary yesterday, three new adorable residents, and we are going to show you and do the reveal at the end who the newest members of residents of Ark of Grace are. They came from Pennsylvania, and so we will be doing that at the end. So to begin, while others are jumping on, welcome. We're going to put up the news article because the National Guard was called into Washington, D.C., and I have my suspicions about this. Talk about spies in the land. This is what happened. So President Trump calls up National Guard to combat crime in D.C., says Chicago could be next. President Donald Trump claimed Washington, D.C. has been overtaken by crime despite numbers showing crime is down in the capital city. President Trump's announcement Monday that he would federalize local police in Washington, D.C. and call up hundreds of National Guard members to help combat crime in the nation's capital drew praise from some Republicans and law enforcement agencies and a sharp rebuke from local elected leaders. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser calls the plan unsettling and unprecedented, but indicated that it's unlikely the district would challenge the president's plan as D.C. was limited autonomy with no representation in Congress. Her last name is Bowser. Now, do you remember? I'm going to take you back to, I was 9 years old, so I got to think about this for 1989. I'm taking you back to Nintendo came out, and there was a, hold on one second here, guys. There was a character named Bowser in Super Mario Brothers. It was this reptilian tortoise looking animal who was the whole villain of the game. This woman's name is that last name. So just wanted to just point that out as well. But I'm going to show you something that's going on that's very, very interesting. So there is a mobilization happening around DC. It's happening 3 days before this August 15th meeting in Alaska between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. The 15th is this Friday. It happens to be Shabbat. Interestingly enough, the parsha or the Torah portion for the week that aligns with what is happening in the nation, that aligns with this meeting that is to take place in Alaska, the Torah portion is Deuteronomy 11, right? 10 through 17. I believe that is the entire Torah portion for the week. And this is what it says. For the land which you are entering to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it with your foot like a garden of vegetables. But the land into which you are about to cross to possess, a land of hills and valleys, drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. It shall come about if you listen obediently and pay attention to my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the late rain, so that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your olive oil. And he will give grass in your fields for cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Beware that your hearts are not deceived and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them, or the Lord's anger will be kindled and burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the land will not yield its fruit, and you will perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. That is the Torah portion for the week with what is happening with this meeting between Trump and Vladimir Putin coming into Alaska to have this meeting. Beware your hearts are not deceived and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them, or else the Lord's anger will be kindled and burn against you. If that's not prophetic for this time, I don't know what is. So isn't that interesting, given what is rising in the nation, a percolating rebellion? Given the meeting with Putin and President Trump, what's happening in D.C., this just happens to be the Torah portion. I don't think that's an accident. So with that being said, we're going to Numbers 13, because I'm going to talk about what's going on within the conservative movement as well. I had put out a short the other day about it. I'm going to get into it a little more, but this is far beyond that. This has to do with the nation, the White House, the church. So we're going to start at Numbers 13. We're going to end at Numbers 16. Something very prophetic there as well. That is Korah's rebellion, by the way. So Numbers 13, verses 1 through 16. The Lord said to Moses, send me to explore Canaan, which I am giving to the, send men to explore Canaan, which I'm given to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of their ancestor tribes. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent these men from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. Paran in Hebrew means glorious. So even though they are physically in the wilderness, the place the spies were being sent from testifies to the position in the realm of the spirit pertaining to Canaan that had already been decided in the spirit, and the starting point from which the spies were sent out was already a position of victory. However, only those spies who understood the legal system of covenant through the court of Almighty God understood that, and that was Caleb and Joshua, two of the 12. Verse 4, these are their names. Now these were their names from the tribe of Reuben, Shemua, the son of Zachar, from the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, from the tribe of Issachar, Egal, the son of Joseph, from the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun, which is Joshua, from the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu, from the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi, from the tribe of Joseph, that is, from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi, from the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali, from the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael, from the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vofsi, from the tribe of Gad, Geuel, the son of Mahi. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land, but Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. Moses changed his name. Keep that in mind, because when God is raising people up into leadership, you're going to see a change. You're going to see a name change. You're going to see an identity change. Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, Hoshea to Joshua. Now, within the names of these men was concealed the Lord's deliverance for them, bringing them victory over the giants in the land, over the six occupiers of the land. 10 out of the 12 couldn't recognize it. Within their names, there is a code. And when you take all of the names I just read and you put it into a sentence, the meaning of those names, this is what it says. Hearing he has judged the faithful, he will redeem. Yahweh is our salvation and delivered by God's fortune, the people of God who were hidden and concealed, redeemed. That is the names of all of the spies. If you put them together in order within scripture, their names, the meaning of their names, that is the actual sentence that you get from that. Their names testify to the victory of the battle they had not even engaged in because they were spying out the land first. And in order to take territory from the Lord, you have to spy out the land. However, you have to spy it out through the lens of covenant, not out of the obstacles in the natural. That was the schism that divided the spies. Now, Numbers 13, 25 through 33, we're going to go to Numbers 13, 25 through 33. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there," who were the giants. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, all the Ites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." Verse 30, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Verse 31, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature.' There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Now, why 40 days? Because this is going to tie to the nation. I'm going to tie all this in. Why 40 days? The Lord was testing them to see if they truly could understand and catch hold of what the Lord was doing, what he was about to give them, that it had already been decided in the court of Almighty God. And if you go back to Deuteronomy 1, verse 21, there is record there. The words of Moses were recorded when Israel came to Kadesh Barnea in the wilderness of Paran. "Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as I, the Lord God of your fathers, have spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged." Moses told them simply to go and take the land God had promised. And according to Ezekiel 26, God had already searched out the land for them. They didn't need to do it themselves. He had already, because he's already in the future, speaking to us in the present, he had already searched out the land. In response, the people suggested a plan to Moses of sending spies out in the land. However, Moses did agree with the plan of the people, saying the plan pleased me well in Deuteronomy 1:23. So in Deuteronomy 1, to validate Numbers 13, verses 21 through 23, it says, "Behold, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and take possession of it, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Verse 22, "Then all of you approached me and said, let us send men." So we're back to, hold on one second here. We're back to Deuteronomy 1, verse 22. "Then all of you approached me and said, let us send men before us so that they may explore and search the area for us and bring back to us word regarding the way we should go and the cities we should enter. The plan pleased me, and I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe." This mission of the spies had a bad result initially. It could be said that Moses might have been wrong in agreeing with the suggestion of the congregation to send out the spies. And perhaps the accusations of Miriam and Aaron that were petty, false, and self-interested had made Moses hesitant to take strong and decisive leadership. The pettiness and falseness around leadership is being purged in this time around your lives, within the conservative movement, within the White House, within ministries. It is being purged. There is no place for it. When God is raising up the Calebs and the Joshuas and that generation to understand the scope of the land and the battle we are in right now. And since the people of Israel initiated this excursion, perhaps Moses only came to God asking how to send out the spies, not if he should send out the spies. Still, God directed them on how to do it. He said, "From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them at equal 12. And according to the command of the Lord, nevertheless, in larger picture, this was in the plan of God, because God used the report of the spies as a test of Israel's faith. This is why they were sent out for 40 days. It was a test to see if they would measure the ratification of the covenant from Almighty God to the landscape of the promised land and align it with the faith and vision that they should have had, given all the signs and wonders Almighty God had done for them up to that point. Now, it appears in this nation, in the United States of America, in the church, in the conservative movement, we have already forgotten what the Lord ratified and did for us in November of 2024. The conservative party has more in common with Israel than they think. I know there's a lot of them that want to speak out against Israel and blame Israel for everything under the sun. Do I agree with everything Israel does? No. Do I agree with everything our government does? Absolutely not. Governments are wicked. They're wicked. But the conservative party that wants to put them on blast has more in common right now with Israel than they think. Israel's faith was fleeting. They were constantly grumbling and causing divisions within the camp. Israel was short-sighted and did not have long vision. Korah's rebellion rose up within the ranks. There were those in the ranks constantly adjusting Israel's vision to view things from a point of bitterness, defeat, and complaining. They forgot the victories the Lord had given them easily and made their own brethren the enemy in order to gain a more strategic position within the ranks of leadership among the nation of Israel. Israel did all those things. And within the conservative party right now, they are doing all of those things. They're actually aligning more with the heart of Israel before they took the promised land than they think. Now, if you read scripture, it's all there. What Israel did, the grumbling, the lack of vision, the division within ranks, the bad report with the spies, it's all there. So the conservative movement is acting very similar to Israel in Numbers 13 and 16 in Korah's rebellion. And they're aligning with that. they're aligning with that. And we're going to get a little deeper into that in a moment. But we cannot, as the nation or as the church, fight victorious battles by elevating the giant and its capabilities or the land and its bounty above Almighty God and his jurisdiction over the earth. When the giant is elevated, the size of the problem is elevated, the report, the bad report is elevated to a point where we step out of the confines of covenant, where we nullify all that God has ratified, that is not only idolatry, but it spreads like a virus, like a cancer through the camp. That spirit of Amalek bared down on the 10 spies. Remember, they had gone into the land, Amalek was there. That spirit that influenced Amalek bared down on the 10 spies and affected their faith, affected their vision, affected their speech, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Because the 10 spies already had a predisposition to oppose the things of God and the leadership he appointed. These 10 spies already had a predisposition to this. Foggy goggle syndrome has spread through the church, the conservative party, and the nation, and it changes the perception and the position from which you battle. Compromise leads to a loss of vision, cheapening the power of covenant, cheapening what the Lord has declared in the spirit, which imposes those penalties and parameters in the natural, is what caused a grave wage to be paid the 10 spies that came back with a bad report, as well as those in the camp who submitted to such a false narrative. We think fake news is something new in the recent years that Donald Trump invented. It has been going on for thousands of years. He just coined a slogan for it. Numbers 13, verses 26 through 29. Now that they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, the giants, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Six different enemies, all within one land that God promised to give in Numbers 13. Six enemies. Now think about this one. Six enemies in six areas of that land. 66. Isn't it interesting? There are 66 books of the Bible. And here in Numbers 13, it was six enemies in six areas of the land. 66, because the Lord already knows the end from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in Numbers 13, it's six enemies in six different areas, 66, and there are 66 books in the Word of God, because the Lord already knows the end from the beginning. This is a foreshadowing in a way, even then, of the Antichrist. Six being the number of man, that spirit that was brooding and hovering over that land. The Amalekites were within that land. The 10 spies wanted to deter Israel and leave the Amalekites with the giants, with the Canaanites, with the Hittites, with the Jebusites, with all of them to occupy the land. What the 10 spies were saying was, give the land to our enemies. Give the land to those who have raised altars of paganism in the land. Give the land to the giants, the descendants of Anak, who are related to Goliath, who blasphemed the name of God for 40 days and then was struck down. In Genesis 36:10, we see that Amalek is Esau's grandson. Esau disobeyed, married Canaanite women, made and created a mixed race with those women. When he was told not to intermarry with the Canaanite women, this is where the Palestinians come from. The Palestinians come from Jordan, from Esau marrying Canaanite women and the line of Amalek being birthed from that. And that information is in Genesis 36:10. And I'm going to show you something very interesting about this. 36 plus 10 is 46. It was during the 46th presidency that Amalek rose up and brought an outcry in the nation. It was during the falsified presidency of Joe Biden that Amalek, when he was the 46th president, that Amalek brought the outcry across our nation. Now, Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Let us go up and take physical possession of what we know God has already ratified and sanctified and ordained in his courts. That's what Caleb was saying. Caleb has a spirit. He had a different spirit. He had a spirit that understood the legal system of heaven and how earth in all its fullness had to submit to such. Imagine if our church leaders, our shepherds, those at the highest seats in the government fully caught hold of this, what would happen in our nation and within the earth. Imagine if leaders of other nations caught hold of what Caleb caught hold of. What would happen within these nations in the earth? Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. They were set apart, and although the 10 spies were greater in number, they fell, and God upheld Caleb and Joshua and their faithfulness. It does not take a majority. It takes a minority willing to align on every level with God's plans and purposes, which in fact dismantles the majority of rebellion in numbers and becomes the majority. We see this over and over again in Scripture. Numbers 13, 31 through 33, but the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." They're going to devour you, and they're going to squash you. This is the report that the 10 spies brought back. Verse 33, "There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Isn't that histrionic of them? "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." All these spies were looking at when they said this, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." All these spies were looking at was the physical matchup, the size differential, when the spiritual landscape held greater weight for victory. Since the giants in the land were significantly larger in size and stature, but inferior spiritually, through the words of these 10 spies, they were already trying to give the victory to those 6 inhabitants of the land and actually creating warfare in the spirit, sabotaging what the Lord had already declared. That's what they were doing. They were sabotaging with their words what the Lord had already declared. This is the time where the Lord clears those people from out from around you, from around the conservative movement, from within the White House. He's going to clear them because, yes, there are spies from within. There are spies that are looking to sabotage. There are spies that are looking to speak words of death. There are spies in the White House doing this. There are spies in the conservative movement doing this. There are spies in ministries doing this. This is the time where a remnant with a different spirit arises, because the 10 spies were struck down by plague of Almighty God for the severity of what they did. For the severity of it, they were struck down. Now, Isaiah 46:10 says, "Declaring the end and the result from the beginning, and from ancient times the things which have not yet been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will do all that pleases me and fulfills my purpose." He's talking about Cyrus too in that scripture. This is the time of the Caleb and Joshua generation rising in the church, in the conservative movement, in the White House. This is the time, this is the hour, because the spies are about to be exposed and moved out of the camp, and Korah's rebellion is about to be put down. Because technically, I'm going to tell you something. Everyone is getting hypnotized by this America first, America first, America first. Well, if we are a nation upon which the foundation is Judeo-Christian values, it shouldn't be America first. It should be God first, America second. That should be the slogan. God first, America second. That would be the order that would be pleasing and acceptable to Almighty God. People go, America first, America first, America first. No, it's God first, then America. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And this was based and ratified upon the foundation of Judeo-Christian values. The Bible was written by 65 Jews and one non-Jew. You wanted 66 books. Now, I know that basically some of these books were written by the same Jews, but I'm saying the 65 books were written by all Jews and one non-Jew, and that one non-Jew was Luke. Luke was a doctor. He was not a Jew, and he wrote one of the Gospels. It should be God first, America second. That should be the slogan. And I'm going to say something else. When you say Christ is King, now, this has been a goading and a trend on Twitter and on X. And I have said before, his official title is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the name above all names. If you want to give him his due, that is his due. But when you see the goading of Christ is King all over X, with the motive to goad and mock Jews, you are doing exactly what Satan did in the wilderness to Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 4. You are doing that very same thing. When Satan took the word and weaponized it to mock Jesus Christ and goad him into the flesh to exalt himself above Christ by getting Christ in the flesh and making him adhere to Satan's standards instead of allowing God to uphold and defend, utilizing the unadulterated word as the legal response. When they're doing this, Christ is King, they are doing what Satan himself did in Matthew 4, taking the word, perverting it, and manipulating it to try to goad what they want to mock into the flesh into a fight. It is perverted. It is perverted. It is not coming from a pure well. It is not coming from a pure place. First, they would say the King of Kings because he's not an earthly king. He is nowhere comparable to an earthly king. And they would say the King of Kings. But they are doing the same thing that Satan himself did to Jesus Christ in Matthew 4, perverting the word, twisting it to goad Jesus out to Satan's standard of a fight, in order to try to humiliate Jesus Christ in the wilderness, kill the whole plan, sabotage the whole plan, which then all of humanity would have been lost. That was the stakes in Matthew 4. And it was 40 days in the wilderness, just like the spies were sent out 40 days, because it's a testing. It's a testing of faith. It's a testing of, are you going to stand by God's word or the perverted words of man? Now, if you take this and you go to number 16, we jump to number 16, Korah's rebellion. Korah's rebellion. Isn't it interesting that in number 16, Korah's rebellion ends up, the account ends up being. And in 2016, the rebellion with not only the Russia hoax and the spies was birthed, but the seeds for rebellion within the church and the conservative movement were planted and well-watered. The spirit that was on Korah is on some right now that are going to have a very hard correction publicly and a fall. Even what is happening in Washington, D.C., the National Guard being called in is to deal with rebellion. It's to put down a rising rebellion. That's why Chicago is mentioned, because that spirit of rebellion is all over Chicago as well. This is the spirit of rebellion that was on Cora that has infiltrated parts of the nation, the conservative movement, the White House, the church. Number 16, 1 through 11. Now Cora, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and on the son of Peleth, descendants of Reuben, took action. And they rose up in rebellion before Moses, together with some of the Israelites, 250, remember that number, 250, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in assembly, men of distinction. These were 250 men of distinction. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" Verse 4. And when Moses heard this, he fell face downward, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "In the morning the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy, and will bring him near to himself. And the one whom he will choose, he will bring near to himself. Do this, take censers for yourselves, Korah and all your company. Then put fire in them and place incense on them in the presence of the Lord tomorrow. And then the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the one who is holy. You have gone far enough, you sons of Levi." He was giving them a small window to repent. That's why he said, do this tomorrow before the Lord. Verse 8, then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, does it seem but a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to him, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? And that he has brought you near to him, Korah and all your brothers, sons of Levi, with you, would you seek the priesthood also? Therefore, you and your company are gathered together against the Lord. But as for Aaron, who is he that you murmur against him?" Now, that's number 16. Numbers 15, we're going to go back one. 15 through 16, then Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, "Pay no attention to their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I harmed any of them." Moses said to Korah, "You and all your company are to appear before the Lord tomorrow, both you and they, along with Aaron. Each of you take his censer and put incense on it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord, 250 censers. Also, you and Aaron shall each bring a censer." 250. Korah and his company were 250. Next year is America's 250th birthday, I believe. 2026, America turns 250. We see this Korah's rebellion percolating in the nation now. It's not an accident. It is on the cusp of the 250th anniversary of America, and it was the 250 men and their censors that were made to appear before the Lord. You can see the implosion coming in the nation. You can see it. As what happened with the 10 spies and Korah and the 250 individuals, you had plague and the earth swallowing up the 250. The spies and those that sided with them, plague went through Israel, where Moses and Aaron had to intervene to stop it. And then you had Korah and the 250, and they were swallowed up by the earth. I will be honest about some things. It took Joe Biden 4 years and the globalists 4 years to screw up, muck up, bang up, and cause a dumpster fire in the nation. They gaslit what was already a problem. And it took them 4 years to do it. If all of that that we saw him dismantle took 4 years, what we witnessed, then we have to allot, in all fairness, we have to allot President Trump the same 4 years to undo it. I cannot make a proper and full judgment on his presidency until I see the full body of work over 4 years. You have people already yelling, he didn't keep his promises, we are holding him accountable, he hasn't even been in office a year yet. He's not keeping his promises, we're holding him accountable, and He hasn't even been in office a year yet. I think in our Amazon two-day prime Burger King, have it your way, Taco Bell, run for the border society that we find ourselves in, we have a false idea of how long knots take to be untangled, how long they take to be undone, that we may see the top of the knot, but the 10 other knots below it that we cannot see that have to be undone to undo the top one. Well, we have to understand there's a certain order to that. We want this instant ChatGPT type of results, and that is not reality. That is the beast. That is the false reality of the beast. That is being built to reprogram the minds of the generation to be so addicted to that level of instant gratification that there is a great placation and complying to such a beast. I think conservative and liberal podcasters think they know everything because of sources, when really they know maybe 10% of the whole, which leaves 90% unaccounted for. They can only give you the 10%, which means you do not even have half the facts at that point. I also think that many conservative podcasters live in a bubble, a very bitter one, an angry one, a resentful one, where the wounds they suffered at the hands of others have turned into festering, oozing boils that are spilling out onto those who watch them. I call it righteous rot, because they think they're being righteous, but it's nothing but rot. There is a deep root of bitterness in the conservative movement. I see far more bitterness than I see gratitude. That you even have a platform. Gratitude that you've even been given a platform, that you even have a voice, that you have been given a responsibility. And it's not just constantly to air out the contents like the National Enquirer of one's private life who you don't like. Or sculpting a narrative because you're unwilling to forgive when you were damned to hell yourself and a righteous savior died for you when you deserve no mercy. I see the wicked servants who were shown grace and mercy and now want to turn around and show none. You are so blinded with competition to be right that you lit a match and sent a biblical worldview up in flames. I believe a great altar of intellectualism has been erected like Babel in the Conservative Party, and that altar has had active sacrifices in this time, and the consuming fire of God is going to bring that altar down. The world doesn't need more intellectuals. The United States doesn't need more intellectuals. It needs those who dare to have the extraordinary faith of Moses and Caleb and Esther and Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel and David and the disciples. Faith that didn't entertain people, it actually moved mountains. Faith that was a precise weapon and demanded results in the natural. Men and women who dared to go beyond their own understanding, ushering in the power of the great I am, El Shaddai. I believe in this time the hand of God is going to pop that bubble within the babble of the Conservative Party, and the deflation and the fall will be great. The wise man built his house upon the rock, the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and the ones that built their house upon the sand, great was their fall. We need the Caleb and Joshua generation right now to arise amongst the spies, giving a bad report, to arise to bring down the giants and the enemies that had no legal claim to what God had ordained. That's what we need right now. We need the Caleb and Joshua generation to arise in this hour. That's what we need right now. We need right now those that dare to see beyond the self-gratification that is in front of their face. You have right now conservative commentators saying filthy things, filthy, filthy exchanges on X, filthy exchanges on their podcasts, jabs and blows, speaking death. And this is what Generation Z coming up has an example of. the filth that is being exchanged, the superficial, condescending, Golden Corral buffet of slop that they are putting out is what they're feeding the people. And you know what they did? They took the standard that was meant to be there and they lowered it to a point where now it's in the pig pen. Where now they don't care if they've got Satanists and people praying to false gods on the altar of the Republican National Convention. Where they don't care. Where they don't care about airing out somebody's entire private life because they took a jab at them. Where there is no graciousness, no mercy, there is no wisdom. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. That is fleeting right now in the hour that we are in. And this is what Generation Z has to look forward to. The superficial, and people are writing, Amanda, you're insulting the pigs. Yes, I am. The superficial nonsense that is being argued about right now. And the superficial debates are all meant and are all a design of the kingdom of darkness to draw you into distraction. Because if he's got you, the enemy has got you in the distraction of that and in the noise of that, you can't hear the Lord. You can't hear the direction of the Lord. You can't hear the warning of the Holy Spirit. And these commentators are teetering dangerously close to the edge of catastrophe right now, because death and life are in the power of the tongue, and all they have sown now for months and months and months and months is death. They have sown death. They have wanted to blame Israel for everything under the sun. Has Israel done horrible things? Probably. Did Germany do horrible things? Yes. Has the United States government, the CIA, and the FBI done horrible things? Yes. However, this is what we have to understand. God is a God of covenant, and actually the boundaries that God gave Abraham for the land of Israel when that covenant was ratified has still not been realized. It still has not realized, but God keeps his covenant and God keeps his promise. And if Israel is in covenant with God, who better to know how to deal with Israel but God? Because there are very severe consequences for violating such a covenant. The problem is they step into a false reality, these commentators, where now they have begun to ascend themselves to the judgment seat of God. And then they have begun talking from a perspective of the flesh, because Satan, just like in Matthew 4, tried to goad Jesus into speaking from the flesh, because then he would get him out from under the covering and be able to destroy and derail the whole plan. They have been lured out from under a covering. They have been lured out into the flesh right now. They have been lured out into idolatry and making people say America first, when really it's God first, then America. If we are in the proper order as America, it should be, we have what, one nation under God? God first, then America. That's how it should be. I understand the concept of America first, which is kind of funny because that's a very Judeo concept. When God birthed the nation of Israel and he brought them into the promised land, it was Israel first, in a way, beneath God. It was Israel's interest, Israel's people, taking care of Israel's people, taking care of Israel's interest, taking care of Israel's land. That was what got birthed and ratified. And so we think America first is something new. No, it's not. It actually goes back to a very ancient biblical concept. Very ancient biblical concept. And so we have to understand that there is a very real kingdom of darkness, and there is a spirit of Amalek that, like a serpent, has wrapped and coiled itself around some of these commentators, has literally gotten control of their mouths. And now the talking points of Amalek and the serpent are going out instead. And what is happening is there are landmines being sown around them that they are about to detonate because the harvest is coming. That is what is happening. We should be the standard. Jesus Christ should be in his rightful place in the conservative movement. And you know what they did? They evicted him for babble. They evicted him for filth. They evicted him for mudslinging. They evicted him for filthy language. They evicted him to try to seem hip and have people that are sympathists to Satanists on the platform of the Republican National Convention. I understand he's got to be everybody's president, but guess what? You got to worry about pleasing Almighty God first when you're anointed by him to lead rather than man. This is what we're witnessing, and it's taking a very dark turn. Satan has attempted through Amalek to hijack this movement, to destroy it from the nucleus, from within, and then to take over with bitterness, with rage, with malice, with dissension, the ranks of that movement, and then begin to speak death out of their mouths. They think they're untouchable. They are not untouchable. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he shall most certainly reap. And right now, the conservative movement should be raising a standard and a banner of righteousness in the nation, not a banner of Jerry Springer for all on X. Right now, there should be a banner raised for righteousness within the conservative movement. Right now, there should be a banner raised of conviction that is compelling people towards Almighty God. Right now, there should be a standard that's raised, because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. They took the standard that God wanted to raise to seem popular, and they lowered it low enough so the belly of the serpent can come right over that wall. That's what they did. And they have made a spiritual mess of epic proportions that we are now actively watching the stagnated, worm-filled, decayed fruits of. You will know them by their fruits. Their fruits are bitter. Their fruits are premature. Their fruits are immature. Their fruits are filled with decay. That is the fruit that is being produced by them. And then their audience is eating that fruit of bitterness, of worms, of decay, of rot. And it is affecting their souls. It is affecting their speech. It is affecting their lives. And that's how Satan comes as an angel of light and begins to turn the narrative in the direction he wants it to go. Now, we don't have to be judgmental all the time, but we should be a decent fruit inspector. We should be decent fruit inspectors. We should be able to inspect the fruit that's being produced and be able to tell the source from which the fruit is coming. Has it been altered? Has it been mangled? Has it been modified? Has it been diseased? We should be good fruit inspectors when looking at these things through a discerning eye. And that's what Joshua and Caleb were. They were not only fruit inspectors, they understood the spirit of the other 10 spies was not in alignment with the thoughts, plans, intentions, and ratification from his court that God gave for that land. They were out of alignment. They were judicially out of order. They were spiritually out of order. They were out of covenant, and they were speaking death over the plans and purposes of God in order to cast doubt within the congregation of the leadership God had chosen. Isn't it interesting that Donald Trump next year is turning 80 years old, the same age Moses was when he was called at the burning bush? And this is when we see Numbers 13, the spies, and number 16, Korah's rebellion. beginning to percolate and go immensely on the rise. This is no accident. We are watching this happen for a reason. This is also a setup. God is testing these conservative commentators. He did the spies. He tested them. He tested them to see if they understood the times, if they understood the ratification, if they understood the land, if they understood his plans and purposes for that land. He tested them, and he's testing them now. And this is why you're watching the great divide between the 10 and the 2. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. The 10 were unified in their vision that had been dramatically impaired by allowing the circumstances and landscape of that land to infiltrate their soul, spirit, and their thinking. We are actively watching this right now unfold within this arena. We are actively watching it. I will be honest with you, this week apparently too, allegedly it was commentators from Turning Point or something, USA female commentators, erupted over the biggest nonsense over the size of one of their engagement rings. The big cat fight, bachelorette gone rogue nonsense we've ever seen. It's a distraction. It's immature. It's meant to dumb you down. It's meant to distract you. It is meant to turn you away from the things of God. It's meant to do exactly what the enemy wanted to do to Jesus Christ in Matthew 4 and put you on the flesh. Because once the enemy can get you in the flesh, he can pretty easily get control over your emotions and then over your actions. So the whole goal is to draw somebody into the flesh through offense, through fear, through death, through worry, through greed. There's a whole bunch of things. But once he's got him there, he can begin to modify their behavior. You are watching the modification of such behavior now. You're watching the enemy actively modify the behavior of some of these commentators. And am I saying they're dumb? No. They're actually quite intelligent book-wise, quite foolish, spiritually speaking. And that is where the enemy's going to get you. Demons are intellectuals. Demons love the altars of intellectualism. Demons would rather have you worship at the altar of intellectualism any day of the week instead of coming to the altar of Almighty God, because there's no freedom in intellectualism. There's freedom through Christ Jesus. That is the difference. And they're steering everyone towards the altar of intellectualism, which is actually alluring them to enslave them into the bondage of a man-made system and a man-worshipped knowledge that does not come from the high throne and the high court of Almighty God. This is what we have to understand, why this is all happening the way it's playing out. The only freedom truly is through Christ Jesus. There is no other freedom beyond that. The world is not getting more still. It's getting noisier. And you know you're maturing in your walk when you can hear God through the noise and recognize the voice of your Father. That was what Caleb and Joshua were doing. They were discerning the plans of God through all of that noise, all of that dissension, all of that death, all of that doubt, all of that trying a coup to overthrow Moses and Aaron. Joshua and Caleb discerned through it all of that noise, and understood the voice of their Father, the ratification of the covenant, and what he had given them as a purpose to go in and take the land. They understood that. And we have to understand that, because there's a lot of noise out there right now. These people make their money by noise. What God would call clanging cymbals before his throne. Noise. They make their money on noise. They have their platforms on noise. No, not noise that nourishes you. Not noise that compels you. into a deeper place with the Lord. Not even one that provokes you to think, but noise. Noise and agendas is the name of the game right now. Make a lot of noise and then sculpt the agenda and merge the two together in a very perverted marriage that ends up tainting the souls of men and women. This is what we have to understand is going on here right now. And we have to understand that Numbers 13 and number 16 is at play. So remember that as we go forth and pray for these people. Let me tell you, the Word of God tells us to pray for our enemies, bless those who persecute us, pray for them, pray for their souls, pray for their vision, pray for the scales to fall from their eyes. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, and I feel the presence of the Lord with this, when Paul was on the road to Damascus with those letters from the high priest, he was so convinced he was in the will of God, butchering and slaughtering Christians and throwing them in jail. He had been so deceived by the sophisticated weapons and arguments of the enemy that he believed he was doing God's work. He believed he was exposing these people, these wicked people that were turning people astray. He believed he was exposing them. And as he was on the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ himself appeared, knocked him off his donkey onto the ground. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? That is going to be the question in this hour to these commentators. That is going to be the question to the conservative movement. That is going to be the power of God hitting it and knocking it off of its high horse. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why do you kick against the goads? Why? Posed it as a question and blinded him for 3 days before I think his name was Ananias, I think was his name, was commissioned by God to go restore the sight of Paul, who was Saul. That is what's happening in the conservative movement right now. They're about to meet their road to Damascus moment. The leaders of Syria are about to meet their road to Damascus moment as well. There are actively black people being sold on the Muslim slave blocks in Libya into slavery. There are Christians being butchered in Syria. There are Christians and their families being slaughtered in the Congo by those who claim they're doing God's work. They're Sauls. They're Sauls. And they're about to meet their road to Damascus moment as well. This is the hour of it. This is the season. And this is the time. They're about to meet their road to Damascus. There are more mosques in New York City than anything else right now. Temples, probably churches. There are more mosques in New York City right now than those. They believe they're doing God's work. Saul, convinced he was doing God's work. Boy, are they about to get a rude awakening in this about what God really sees as his work and what he views as the work of the devil. Because some of them have gotten them very, very, very confused. And this is the hour for it. This is the hour. And pray for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, because it's not big money, apparently, for a lot of these conservative commentators to talk about the butchering that's going on in the Congo right now. Being slaughtered for their faith. And when I tell you slaughtered and butchered whole churches, and they can't take a bad comment on their social media feed. They can't take someone putting an X post about them. They have lost touch with reality because they have no idea what true persecution is and what it truly means to be persecuted for Christ. Because they're too busy playing the martyr And if that's the role they want to play, God may just give it to them. Because these people are being butchered and it's being ignored. And all you hear is Gaza, Gaza, Gaza. Let me tell you, there are videos going out right now of the Palestinians, and they're saying Trump is feeding us and Hamas is starving us. Those videos are going out right now, just so you know. You can find them pretty readily right now. But there's other areas of the world where people are being butchered for their faith, and these individuals can't take someone making a salty comment about them. You want to talk about losing touch with reality? You want to talk about abusing freedom? You want to talk about maybe a dose of humility? Pray for these people. Pray for them. Pray for these commentators. Pray for these Christian families, that the Lord would supernaturally protect them and by the fire of God consume and destroy those that are shedding blood to feed an altar in the land in order to try to maintain a generational claim to that land. So remember that as we finish. Praise the Lord. I felt the Lord on that. Let me tell you, I felt the Lord. I felt him come. Praise the Lord for that. Okay. Now, animals. We now stay on for this because God has a prophetic reason for what I'm about to show you. We had three new residents come to Ark of Grace yesterday. So we're going to show you pictures now. The Lord sent three goats, and their names are James, Ray, and Dawn are the names of the goats right now. They are dwarf goats. They arrived from Pennsylvania yesterday. We want to thank Mary and her husband. They drove them to us from Pennsylvania. So they got to see where the goats were being surrendered to. Pray for her husband because it is a very serious health issue going on, and this is why they had to actually bring the goats to us. They are very happy. They are absolutely adorable, and they are doing wonderful since getting to Ark of Grace. So do we have another picture? Okay, I took this picture. I am titling this Separating the Sheep from the Goats. As you can see now, we have the sheep in one pen and the goats are separated in the other. And that's what God is doing in this time. He's separating the sheep from the goats, the truth from the lie, the deception and darkness from the light. This is what he's doing. So imagine in this time and hour, this is when Almighty God chooses to send goats to Ark of Grace sanctuary to separate the sheep from the goats and to make a prophetic statement about what he's doing in this hour. God never ceases to amaze me about the timing of how he sends these animals. He sent Cyrus, who you can see out cold on the floor. He had a vet appointment today. He was a little traumatized. Our vets are wonderful, but Cyrus does not like going to the vet. So Cyrus came literally a month before President Trump was first indicted in 2023. That's when Cyrus the shepherd arrives at our sanctuary. You don't think God's got prophetic timing for these things? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He could do whatever the hey pleases him. I think some people forget that, but that's the honest truth. Okay. Also, our social media. We'll make the announcement in a moment, but this is our social media. So Rumble, YouTube, TikTok, Telegram, Ark of Grace Ministries, and Truth Social. Facebook, Ark of Grace Ministry with a Y. Instagram, Ark of Grace 88. X at Amanda Grace underscore AOG. We have an Ark of Grace app. Just search Ark of Grace on your app store. We are also on pray.com. You can download that app and search Amanda Grace as well to follow us on pray.com. We are on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on pray.com. Also, people, we're getting lots of emails. There are some false assistants out there that are reaching out to you claiming to be from us. They are not from us. These assistants are not from us. These are people that are bless their heart, they're scammers. They are just totally deceived and they're scammers. And so please do not give them any information. Always write us first and ask us if this is us. We will be more than happy to tell you if it is or it isn't. Also, we're going to put up the Revelationary War. I'm almost done with my second book. So if you have not read this yet, the second book's going to make a lot of sense if you read The Revelationary War, the epic battle against false prophecy and deception. It goes back prophetically decades in our nation to how we got where we got as well. The enemy will always mix a little bit of truth with a whole lot of lie. Yes, he will, to try to validate himself in your life. Don't give him that validation. So you can go to Amazon, search The Revelationary War, Barnes & Noble's as well, Charisma House, and anywhere books are sold. And there is a new book coming out. We will have the picture of it soon. But my second book is coming out early next year. It is called Brace for Impact. So that is the name of the second book. All glory be to God. I didn't know there was a second one in me so fast, but I guess God had other plans. So we're going off on that journey as well. Also, we're going to put Givaderm up before we end tonight. Oh, this is Givaderm. It is an incredible plant-based, all-natural skincare line. I personally use it twice a day. Chris uses it also every day. He, in fact, went shopping in my drawer today to try to get eye cream and Mother Slugger, if you're interested. My husband is going in because he's out of his products. He's now going and taking my products. And let me tell you, it is a miracle to get Chris to use skincare. So you know this has to be good, because my husband, for how many years of his life? 58 years of his life, never used skincare. So on the 59th year, he had an epiphany and he decided that he wanted to try Givaderm. It is amazing. It comes in glass bottles, which is so much better for you, by the way, with all the microplastics and things that are happening right now in our environment. My favorites are the Uplift, love Mother Plumper, love the eye cream. As well, the Mother Slugger I actually use as a primer. So you could go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount. You can use that every time, by the way, you order. We thank the Givaderm ladies for being so gracious with that. And this is where we're going to end for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. God bless you. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91, I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, Psalms 91, 123, 34, 35, and 51, which is created me a clean heart, O God, which we prayed at the beginning. The word is living and active and current for every generation. This is active. This is a living, active, breathing book. And the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then it was put into a living, active book. This is our sword. A sword is no good if you don't swing it. So swing it at the enemy like you mean it in this hour, because he has gone out on the attack. Also, Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19, that's in the Believer's Authority by Pastor Kenneth Hagin. I speak those scriptures every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, as well as the Lord's Prayer, straight spiritual intelligence from the throne of God, giving it to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to teach the disciples how to pray. The order of that prayer is the key to that prayer. And Hebrews 11, one of the greatest chapters on faith, I believe, that is within the word of God. So we always love to encourage you with the word as we close, because that's your real soul food. I know fried chicken and grits and collard greens and all of those things are absolutely scrumptious and amazing, but the word is your soul food. So remember that. Ask the Lord for a desire. If you don't have a desire, ask him for a desire. Ask him to give it to you to go more and more in the word. We got to go deeper to go higher right now and be sharpened with what we are facing in this hour. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you to our team and our moderators. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We will be putting out shorts, and we will announce, most likely, we will go live on Friday. So we will. I do have to travel, but I will be going live on Friday from Tennessee. So, and then we'll be back for a whole month, and I'll be back in my office again. So thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. Keep the faith. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. Could your health issues be caused by an invisible enemy? Fatigue, bloating, brain fog? What if parasites are the real culprit? Did you know that 60 million Americans apparently have parasites? They are everywhere, our food, our water, and they even can afflict our pets. They can wreak havoc on your gut, energy levels, and even your brain. And the mainstream medical system doesn't want you to think about this, because one great cleanse can potentially change your life. The Wellness Company has a solution for you. Ivermectin and Mebendazole, the FDA-approved parasite solutions, are now combined into one cleanse combo. Just fill out a brief medical intake form to get a 3-month supply. Maha is officially here, and the Wellness Company is making these hard-to-get medications digitally accessible so you can live your best life. Contact the Wellness Company today by going to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and use promo code GRACE to save $60 off plus free shipping. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rafa for women. Rafa means healer in Hebrew, so it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rafa is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural, and I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rafa today. God bless.